Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Their goal is to empower working class adults with the financial knowledge to be financially independent. Both are behind the full-time investor. That's a growth investing community. Kelvin was an investment analyst. That's his background. Jonathan apparently toyed with everything that exists in the stock market. In 2018, Jonathan founded 10X Capital and Growth Investing Mastery, along with Kelvin, both wanting to share their wealth of investing knowledge with like-minded individuals. So they've launched a new course, an upgraded online course. You might have heard them talk about Growth Investing Mastery, but now they've upgraded the course, GIM 2.0, and that's meant to help anyone start their investment journey. It's entirely online if you want to boost your investing skills. We're going to find out what they've been up to since we last chatted with them. I think, John, I last chatted with you September 2020. Time to welcome Jonathan Anko, Founder, Operations Director, and Kelvin Sito, Founder and Managing Director of 10X Capital. John and Kelvin, good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here. Thanks for having us today.
Oh, always a pleasure, Kelvin. All right. So, John, last time you were on this show, we talked about CrowdStrike, right, the company. And back then, it was trading at $126. What is it trading at now?
It's trading around $280. I last saw last night. So it kind of doubled. So it is actually not very surprising for this kind of super stocks who actually can scale exponentially, which is, I guess, the topic of what we're going to talk about today.
It is indeed. We are talking about super stocks. So for the listener who's new to all this and new to CrowdStrike, they are a cloud-delivered endpoint workload protection company. And we talked about CrowdStrike the last time John was on the show with us. That was September 2020. John, are you still bullish on CrowdStrike?
Yeah, I think CrowdStrike is a good company. Just that I think the valuation is a bit rich, so I'll be a bit cautious. And because CrowdStrike is a company that is kind of like well-known right now, so I think there's not much upside as of now. So I think as investors, there's always going to be opportunities. So I'm just waiting for CrowdStrike to come down to a reasonable price before we actually invest in it again.
Well, thank you for sharing with us your information about CrowdStrike back in 2020. Let's start with our topic today, which is super stocks. Sounds very exciting. Kelvin, what are super stocks? How are they different from growth stocks?
Hey, Michelle. So, you know, super stocks are your small to medium-sized listed companies that experience very high growth of more than 30%. So I think one of the, as investors, one of the biggest mistakes that we have is that we don't have a strict criteria, and this causes us to be, you know, very overwhelmed with so many companies to choose from. So when we talk about super stocks, they typically are what we categorize as sunrise industries, such as your e-commerce, your cybersecurity, your internet, green energy, healthcare companies. So you can really think of them like your future Amazons, Apple, Netflix, etc. So they define their category by building amazing products. And one of the super stocks that we have identified is C Limited, which is a homegrown company.
C Limited? Did you say C Limited? Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the company that's responsible for the Shopee company. And it has been growing at more than 100% as an e-commerce company. So as a disclaimer, I actually own the stock as well.
Okay. C Limited, I am looking at their chart. It is a beautiful chart, I have to say, at least a one-month chart is, from the period of 11 to 18, currently trading at about, let's see, 367? Yeah, yep. US dollars. Okay, so C Limited, again, how are they just different from, you know, a company that's innovative, new? What are they bringing to really transform an industry?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at e-commerce, it's a very nascent market. I think in comparison with America, you look at Southeast Asia, the penetration rate of total retail is still very low. So I think there's a lot of ways to grow. And in many areas, they've overtaken Lazada. And I think for that reason is they have, you know, they started off as a gaming company. So they have this company called Garena, which produces games. And I think They have actually gamified the whole e-commerce experiences. They have did things like group buying. And I think overall, I think e-commerce is a very competitive market. And Shopee overall have just executed really well on many fronts. But I would say if you have one factor, I would say it's the gamification of the whole process, the e-commerce process. Now it becomes such a fun activity. You watch live streams. You want to get your coupons. You want to wait for the 9-9 sale, 10-10 sale, 11-11 sale. And it just brought the whole experience to the next level.
Good point. So I'm just reading up about Sea Limited, looking to raise, let's see, about $6 billion in Southeast Asia's biggest fundraising in a share and convertible sale soon to tap growing investor interest in this region. So did you want to share how you identify a super stock, John?
Right. So I think for super stocks, there are a few criteria. So I think I always like to use the analogy, right? I think actually investing and dating or finding a partner is pretty similar because both involve commitment, right? So when you think about it really logically, when you want to find a partner, ideally you want to find someone who can grow exponentially with you in terms of character, in terms of mental well-being, in terms of wealth as well, if both of you can actually increase your earning power so that you can have a better life. That would be great, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same as companies as well. So we want to find companies that can exponentially grow their revenues, grow their talents, groom their people. So how do we see all these things? I think a very simple back of the envelope is to just look at their financial statements and also to look at Glassdoor to see how people are feeling about the company that they are working in, right? And I think, an important part also is to, in a way, super stocks are kind of companies that are in the industry of platform, they are platform companies, they are tech companies. Why is that so? Because you really want to buy into companies that can scale immensely, all right? So in a way, for every customer that they want to bring in, they don't want to hire an additional employee or team member to actually service these new customers. So in a way, that's how they can actually scale massively without actually incurring much incremental cost, right? I think Kelvin has more to add on to this as well.
Okay, Kelvin?
Yeah, so one thing that we look at for super stocks is this thing called operating leverage, meaning you can service more customers without adding incremental costs. And think about it as a Netflix. When someone subscribes for Netflix service, Netflix doesn't have to spend money to service the customer. You just tap onto the internet. So which is why Netflix was able to scale their profitability quite well.
Brilliant. Yeah. Really interesting. But you need to look at a company's financials as well, right? Even with these super stocks. So help us understand some companies that you think are strong, upcoming super stocks.
Yeah. So Michelle, we think that Airbnb is such an incredible platform. Whenever I travel overseas, I would not want to stay in the hotels. I stay at Airbnb because I like to be connected with the local. So, Airbnb allows us to experience unique home experiences. And we think that this concept is about to happen for caravans and camper vans, especially in Australia.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last name. So it's caravan and what again?
Camper vans.
Camper vans.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
caravans?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So how about this idea where people could rent out their beautifully designed camper vans for travelers as well? Wouldn't that make a lot of sense? It's already happening in United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, and a company that's responsible for making all this happen is a listed company in Australia called Campify.
Campify?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, all right. Campify. Such an interesting... Campify with an L. Camplify. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Campify. You can hire a van, a motorhome, a camper van.
Yeah.
Do they have anything to do with Singapore?
No, they don't.
They don't. Okay, so they're Australia and the UK's peer-to-peer caravan hire. So I could loan out my caravan, for example, in Australia.
Yeah, and the thing is that when owners buy their caravans, they tend to be sitting at the backyard. What if you could rent out and earn some income, wouldn't that be amazing? So this trend is starting to take off because previously people were very hesitant to convert their homes into Airbnbs. But now I think it has been solved, and I think for camper vans, the trend is about to happen, and it's a permanent trend. So it's not like a kind of come and go kind of trend. It's going to be sustained for many, many years to come.
I think you're right. I mean, because even when I think about traveling, I'm a little hesitant about staying somewhere where people share the air so often, or, you know, you want your own space even while you travel. It's such an interesting trend that you picked up. Yeah. And you can even glamp with Camplify, which is important for some of us. All right. What else did you want to add to, John? Did you want to add to the sort of companies that you see as super stocks upcoming?
Right. I think we have been quite transparent. In fact, I think we are one of the, we actually share our ideas publicly without holding back. So in fact, we are looking at this company called Nuvve, N-U-V-V-E.
Nuvve.
So
okay.
It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, just like how Camplify empower RV owners, right? You kind of like, you buy an RV, it's sitting on the yard, it's doing nothing for like maybe 90% of the time because you only go camping 10% of the time. And, you know, in a way, your money is sitting there doing nothing, right? What if you could rent out your camper van or your RV trailer to someone and generate revenues? In fact, there was this man who actually generated $80,000 over summer just by renting out his fleet of RV vans. Mm. And this allowed him to be financially free, right? So the same as Nuvve. So what Nuvve does is that they help electric vehicle owners to actually utilize their battery. And in a way, they're actually lending their batteries to the grid, right? When I talk about the grid, we're talking about maybe companies. So the grid in Singapore is actually SP Powers. The grid in the US may be the Electric Commission of California, for example. So different states in the US have different grid owners. So what they do is that, do you know that, you know, sometimes when you go overseas, you see the windmills turning, right?
Yep.
You think that they are generating electricity, right? So the thing is, yes, they are generating electricity. However, because there isn't enough batteries out there, so even though the windmill is spinning or even though the solar panels are working, but they are not being stored as energy. So that energy is actually wasted. So what Nuvve does is that it gives electric vehicle owners the chance to actually absorb all these surplus energies in the afternoon. So in a way, when there's high supply of electricity, the cost of electricity in the US is actually pretty low, right? In the noon, when there's solar power coming through your grid, when there's, you know, wind power. But at night, right, when everyone starts owning their lights, when everyone starts owning their air conditioning units, and you know, you don't have that solar power coming to your grid, that's where the prices of electricity will actually spike up, right? So from there, actually, you know, electric vehicle owners can earn by literally buying electricity when it's low and then selling it back to the grid when it's high. So this is what Nuvve does. They're actually a software platform that enable owners to actually earn from the batteries that they have in their electric vehicles. And I think this may come to as a surprise to some people, you know, because I think sometimes when we're in Singapore, things are actually pretty steady. Our electricity rates do not actually fluctuate. But we are in the States, it's actually a free and open market. In fact, there was once during a winter season, people actually had to pay $4,000 or $4,000 to $10,000 just to heat up their homes during winter in Texas because the electricity rates are spiked up so much. So this is one company that we actually think that can actually grow exponentially in the future. And we actually have, you know, if listeners want to find out more, we actually have all these resources on our website, thefulltimeinvestor.com. That's where you can find out my YouTube channel.
Your YouTube channel is myinvestor.com?
So the website is thefulltimeinvestor.com, and that's where the links to our podcast, our YouTube, all the resources that we have is there.
Wonderful, wonderful. So you've identified sort of super stocks in terms of vehicles involved in travel and hospitality, perhaps, in that sector, and also green energy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. But, you know, super stocks could be anything, right? You're just looking for a company that's positioning for explosive revenue growth. So it could be esports, could be iGaming, And I'm sure you're looking at more than these two sectors that you've shared with us today, right?
Yes. So I think in short, there isn't really kind of like a sweeping statement to say what exactly are super stocks, because think about it, right? I think when someone is at their 18, when someone is 18 years old, maybe the rate at which they grow in terms of their height is kind of like they still continue growing, but it's not really fast, right? But what we want to do is to find companies when they are at their puberty stage, where they're actually going through exponential growth during that period. So that is why, you know, I think that is very rewarding, because if you can actually increase your growth rate, you identify companies that can grow much more. If you punch in a higher percentage growth on an Excel calculator, you can actually shorten your journey to actually hit financial independence much, much faster because of the wonders of compounding, right? So even though, you know, if it's just from, you increase your growth rate from 15% to maybe 25%, that's going to make a huge difference in the long run.
Would I still look at the basics of price-to-earnings ratio in assessing if I should buy into a particular company that I think is a super stock? Because I'm thinking it's going to have a good opportunity to grow. So should I forget PE?
Right. Yeah, so go ahead, Kelvin.
Yeah. So the way I look at it is that, you know, I think we always talk about how, you know, no matter how good a company is, like in the context, let's say, like Amazon, but if you overpay for it, then I think the chances of us making money would be very limited. But here's the thing that's unique about super stocks, right?
Mm.
Maybe in the short term, we could be overpaying for the shares.
Mm-mm.
But because the company is growing at such phenomenal rates, like 80%, 90%, what we could, it may look like expensive price today, but 1 year forward, mm-hmm. the price that we pay could be cheap because the fact that the business has compounded,
mm-hmm.
the business has grown in value. And so it may not be that bad. But still, I think whatever we do in any form of investment, mm-hmm. we really have to understand and practice what we call a discipline, not to overpay. And we often would like to look at the valuations to make a judgment, you know. But I think in the cases of super stocks, we must understand, because they are growing at such high rate, investors are willing to pay a higher PE ratios, and they are well justified in that context.
John, last time you were here, we talked about identifying growth companies and how important it was to, you know, look at their management teams. Does that benchmark still apply for super stocks?
Yep, definitely. So I think about it, right? When you buy into a company, you're essentially relying hugely on the management's ability to execute, the management's foresight to be able to bring in a future sales pipeline. So we actually do look at the credentials of the people running the show. Preferably, we like people who are founders, because we think there's more skin in the game as compared to a company that just helicopters in an executive. I think nothing wrong with people who are helicoptered in. We have seen a successful management that has done that. Like, you see Microsoft, right? You have Satya Nadella, even though he's not the founder, but he's doing really well. So I think it really depends on their track record and also, you know, how much skin in the game they have. And this is what Kelvin and I like a lot. Just an example, for example, Camplify, actually, the owners of Camplify, management in Camplify actually has more than 30% of a stake in the company. And, you know, think about it, if you're a shareholder, right, if management doesn't execute or do well in terms of their earnings or their revenues, who's going to lose more, right? They are going to lose more because they have so much of their money inside the company.
Interesting. Now, when it comes to super stocks, are you both firmly in the realm of companies only? I mean, do you both look at crypto at all? Cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, so right. Personally for me, I built my multi-million-dollar portfolio of stocks, and I felt that, you know, putting a lot of effort into cryptocurrency is something that I would do it eventually. But right now, I think making money off stocks is something that I've been doing for the last 10 years, and I would not say it's effortless, but it takes not so much effort as compared to learning about crypto. But I've been making decisions to deploy, maybe to allocate a small percentage of my portfolio to crypto. I think in life, it's never about staying stagnant. It's about continuous growth, and we cannot just say that we want to do our thing and not know how the world works. So we are intellectually very curious as investors, and that's something that we are about to learn as well. But I would say that we may not be so aware about cryptocurrencies right now, but I guess there's this company in US called Coinbase, mm-hmm. which is a cryptocurrency exchange. And I think that's one way where we can benefit from the cryptocurrency rise.
Indeed. We just spoke with someone yesterday and we looked at the price chart of Coinbase because it's interesting. It doesn't make its money off the fluctuations of the price of Bitcoin or Ether or all the other coins, but really the volume of trades on its platform, so to speak, right? Okay, how can listeners really... Do you think listeners can build their wealth if they focus on super stocks? How much of our portfolio should we be looking at? I suppose I'd want 100% if possible, right? As many as possible. Put them in there. Can pretty much anyone start on a journey towards financial freedom through super stocks?
Right. I think I want to be a bit more realistic here. So in a way, if you realize, if you want to do super stocks, you actually have to learn stock picking. All right. So I think stock picking is dangerous if you do not have the knowledge, which is why, you know, our committee members attend our classes first. And this is where they get educated to do the stock picking. So previously, I was just talking about if you want to select companies that's growing at more than 30%, you have to be very careful. You have to make sure that the companies do not have debt. You have to make sure that, you know, cash is coming in and it's not just hype, right? Because nowadays, there's a lot of listed spec companies where, you know, their management paint a very beautiful story, but actually there's really no revenues coming in to the company. And when the hype is over, it's just like Cinderella at the ballroom, right? Everything just goes back to normal. And, you know, your stock price will crash. And I've seen a lot of people online detailing how much they've lost so much money on these hype companies because they didn't know what they were doing, right? And it pains our heart to see people lose their hard-earned money. So, however, if someone doesn't have the time or doesn't have really much of an interest to do stock picking, it's not the end of the world, okay? there's actually a lower hanging fruit, which is to buy this ETF called QQQ. The ticker symbol is QQQ. So what is this ETF? It contains a basket of, I would say, growth companies. Not really super stocks, but I think it's pretty decent, right? As compared to putting money in your bank account, which is maybe giving you maybe less than 1% interest right now. So it contains growth companies like Microsoft, Facebook, Adobe, right? All these giant tech companies which have been growing at least 10 to 15%. So I think don't belittle the power of growing at 10 to 15% because all it takes is for you to compound your money at, I think, close around 3 to 5 years. 4 to 5 years at 15% for you to double your money. So, you know, if you look at this ETF called QQQ, I think it has also beaten the S&P 500 as well.
Really?
So this is something that listeners can consider dollar cost averaging on, and you can still do pretty well. However, if you want higher returns, you know, for example, like you want to double your money, just like how we did on CrowdStrike, where we came on the radio and we talk about it, you know, how we actually 10x our money on C Limited. We actually found it earlier on where we went to New York and we actually met a fund manager and we actually exchanged ideas on C Limited. You know, you have to do stock picking, right? So I think for Kelvin and I, all the companies in our portfolio right now are actually super stocks. And I think there's kind of like this misconception that, you know, super stocks are actually more risky, right? Because I don't know if you heard of this term, Michelle, like higher growth means higher risk, right? Right. So, I mean, we talked about this before and, you know, CrowdStrike, when we first talked about it, this company has zero debt. Right, the retention rate for CrowdStrike, because it is a software company, right? People actually do subscribe to their services. Their retention rate is almost 99%. All right, your customers are existing customers are actually paying more and more money every single year because they're buying more products from them. Their revenue growth is 70 to 80%. So, I mean, think about it, right? When you imagine if you are an owner of CrowdStrike, how can this company that has that's going so fast, your customers are not leaving you, you actually have no debt, right? How is this risky? So we have to start thinking from a business owner point of view rather than just generalizing and saying that, you know, all the companies that go, whose stock prices are increasing, or all the growth companies that grow really quickly are actually risky. But that is really very different when you think about it from our own business owner point of view. How can something be growing so fast be risky, right? And these are real monies that they are actually bringing in. So I think we have to differentiate very carefully. But I understand, where this is coming from, because there's a lot of companies out there which are hype companies. Mm-hmm. CEOs are just selling a story. They say, oh, we're going to be the next Airbnb or something.
Look,
we're going to be
Theranos,
the next Tesla or something.
Right? Theranos fooled the smartest investors. BT just had a great commentary about the anatomy of a lie, about how so many startups fake it till they make it, you know?
Right. So that is why we like companies like Camplify. We like companies like C Limited, because these are companies that we can actually have a pulse on. Right, we can actually go onto their website and see how many users are on their platform. Yeah. Right, we can actually monitor this. This is something that is not out of our reach, right? So mm-hmm. that is why we actually like platform companies. And it kind of lowers our risk, right? Because it provides more certainty, more vision.
Wow, what a nuanced discussion. Who's the smartest investors in the room? It would have to be Kelvin Sito and Jonathan Ang, my guests this morning, both from 10X Capital. Guys, thank you so much for sharing your ideas with us here on Money and Me.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure. Thank
Wonderful.
You so much for having us.
I look forward to having you back again soon. Kelvin Sito, Jonathan Ang, my guest. Thanks so much for being here with me. I'm Michelle Martin on Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.